Peter Maggs is with us this afternoon. He lives in Chelmsford, has for the last 30 years. He's written three books since 2008, concerned with 19th century social history. And based on his own original research, the first Henry's trials we've just been talking about, actually, following the extraordinary story of Henry John Hatch, the first chaplain of Wandsworth Prison. And the second unravels the story of the so-called Richmond Poisoner. Now, this was very interesting, Peter, because what we have here is a man who is was basically accused of poisoning. Simple as that, really. It does what it says on the tin. However, it's not quite as straightforward as it seems with this story at all, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, Thomas Smethurst, he was a retired doctor. He married a lady, Isabella Banks, bigamously. He deserted his wife, and they were living as man and wife in Richmond. She fell ill with sickness and diarrhoea, and she gradually deteriorated. He called in a local doctor who decided that she was being slowly poisoned. He got hold of some bodily wastes and had it analysed and found arsenic. They found arsenic. And then 2 days before she died, because she did die, Smethurst got a local solicitor in to make her will. When she did die, he was arrested, and arsenic was allegedly found in one of his bottles. I mean, there was so much evidence. He was so obviously guilty that he murdered her. You know, they were incestuously married. Arsenic was found in her body, or rather in her bodily waste. Arsenic was found in his possession. But when it came to trial, it turned out that actually the arsenic that was found in his possession wasn't arsenic at all. It was a bungle on the part of the chemist who'd done the analysis. And there was no arsenic found in the body. And the witnesses that were called for the defence pointed out that in no case of arsenic poisoning do you not find it in the body. But he was found guilty. He was sentenced to death. And there was an outcry in the press. There were hundreds, literally hundreds of letters written. And the legal and the medical profession, both of them, agreed that the trial had been a travesty. The judge was found to be biased enormously against him. And in the end, he was reprieved. And then it was decided he should have a free pardon. But they didn't let him go. They immediately indicted him for the bigamous marriage. And he ended up in prison for a year. And oddly enough, his trial at the Old Bailey was the day after Henry John Hatch's trial. And he ended up in Wandsworth, which is where Henry had been, which was extraordinary.
So you came across this particular story while researching the first one?
Indeed.
Yeah.
The two cases were constantly compared in the press. In both, there was no court of criminal appeal at the time. If there had have been, both cases could have been sorted out relatively straightforwardly.
Yeah, and there comes across in the second book as well an awful lot of talk of, as you say, this lack of clarity, or certainly there are discrepancies between the testimony given by the medical profession and indeed by the legal profession. And it seemed that they weren't working as you would expect them, like today, for instance. They would work together on this particular case. They were working completely separately, and one didn't quite understand what the other was talking about, and that was one of the big problems. And am I right in saying that the Home Secretary got involved in all this as well?
Oh, yeah, the Home Secretary at the time, Sir George Cornwall Lewis, I mean, he got a pile of letters, petitions on the case. He spent 4 days going through them. The problem with the trial was, this was one of the first trials that turned on expert witnesses. And there were 13 doctors and scientists that said Smethurst were guilty. There were 7 doctors that said, no, he wasn't guilty. She obviously died of natural causes. He was innocent.
Yeah.
And so the jury had to make up their mind. But the judge was so biased that he swung the jury, and they found him guilty.
Mm. Well, two incredible stories in just a space of 20 minutes. Well, they're both out now, Smethurst's Luck and Henry's Trials, and they're available. You can order them from Waterstones, I think, can't you? And get them on Amazon, all the usual platforms and everything.
Yeah.
And you've got a third book in the pipeline as well, I believe.
Yes. I was a graduate student at Essex University in the early 70s, and I came across the Red Barn murder. Mariah Martin was found murdered and buried in the Red Barn at Polstead in Suffolk. The story resonated with me because my supervisor lived in Polstead, and I was brought up in Ealing, where the murderer was arrested.
Right.
And so after I'd done Smethurst and Henry, I thought, well, I'll have a look at the Red Barn murder. And I didn't expect anything left to be said. But many of the books that have been written, I found, were unsatisfactory. And one writer in the late 60s actually made up evidence to make a good story. So I thought, well, need to set the record straight. So I started on the Red Barn murder. And the script is literally about to go to the printers within the next few days.
Well, I certainly look forward to reading it. And may it continue as well. I think you've got the bug anyway, haven't you? I think there's going to be plenty more coming out. And long may it continue. A real pleasure having you on the show today, Peter. Thanks very much indeed for your time today.
Thank you very much indeed.
Take care now.
Nice to be here.
It's Peter Maggs, my special guest this afternoon. Smethurst's Luck and Henry's Trials are both out now.